everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the interview I did with Gail Simone at San Diego Comic-Con, talking about her book from Vertigo, Clean Room. This is one of those books that I feel maybe isn't getting the attention it deserves. It's, as Gail puts it herself, untethered horror. It is an incredibly well-done book. It's scary, don't get me wrong, but the real strength of the book for me lies in the characterization and kind of the drama and tension and mystery that Gail builds. So I feel like just about anybody who loves a good story, loves a good kind of tension-filled thriller or drama would really get a lot out of this book. And that's not to say you have to be a comic reader. I'm sure there's plenty of fans of horror out there. Stephen King, Clive Barker, that kind of thing. I really think you would enjoy reading this book. And it's not just Gail's work on the book, but the artist John Davis Hunt, who does an incredible job with the visuals. The storytelling from panel to panel is very seamless. There's been 10 issues that have come out so far. And at no point in any issue have I been reading it and have I been pulled out of the story by the art. And that's not always the case. Sometimes just based on a choice an artist makes with the panel layout or something, I'll find myself going back to the previous panel. You know, it just happens from time to time. It's kind of the nature of sequential storytelling, but that's never happened in reading this story. So it's an incredibly well done story. I believe the first trade paperback has come out already. So if you'd like to get caught up that way, I certainly would encourage you to do that. But for me, myself, this is not a book I can wait until the trade comes out. I have to read it pretty much each week right when it comes out because it's just that good. So I want to thank Gail for sitting down and talking to me at San Diego Comic-Con about Clean Room. As I said, a really, really good book, and I can't wait to see where it goes from here. And before I play the interview for you, just a quick reminder about the upcoming shows that either Manny or I or Jaden or some combination of the three will be at. I believe the next show that's going to be covered is the Stockton Con, which is the weekend of August 20th and 21st. Manny should be there. Some guests that are going to be there, Alan Pasalacqua, also Dan Brereton, Dan Parsons, Jay Lee will be there, Joe Weems, for you wrestling fans, Kevin Nash will be there, Scott Hall, Sean Waltman, also a friend of the show, Liam Sharp, who's doing incredible work on Wonder Woman as the artist, will be there, Michael Dorn, you probably know him as Worf from Star Trek The Next Generation, is going to be there, comic artist Ron Lim. So they really have a quite a good list of celebrities and comic creators. Again, that's being held at the Stockton Convention Center, August 20th and 21st. If you'd like more information, you can go to stocktoncon.com. The next weekend is at the San Jose Convention Center is Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. So that's August 27th and 28th. And they just have an incredible list of guests that are going to be there. If you're fans of the DC TV universe, this is a show you won't want to miss. Stephen Amell, of course, from Arrow. John Barrowman plays Malcolm Merlin, Arrow. Matt Ryan plays John Constantine. Recently showed up on an episode of The Flash, I believe. Or maybe it was Arrow. Also, David Ramsey, who plays John Diggle on Arrow, is going to be there. Katie Cassidy, who plays Laurel Lance on Arrow, is going to be there. Paul Blackthorne, who plays Detective Lance, is going to be there. Let's see, who else? Robbie Amell, who played Firestorm on The Flash, is going to be there. Teddy Sears, who played Jay Garrick on The Flash, is going to be there. We have Katie Lotz, who plays who plays White Canary on Legends of Tomorrow, also appeared on Arrow. Michael Rooker, who plays Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy, and Merle on The Walking Dead, is going to be there. So, as I said, just an incredible, incredible list of celebrity guests. They have special VIP packages you can purchase. For more info, go to heroesfanfest.com, click on the San Jose link, and up at the top there, and you can find all the information. So as I said, an incredible list. And then the following weekend, now Manny is not sure if he's going to be attending this one, and I'm kind of hoping to go as well, but being that it's San Francisco, it's quite a ways from where I live now. It's pretty much like a 13-hour, 14-hour car ride. Maybe I'll fly. Just not sure yet. So it's being held at the San Francisco Marriott Marquis, September 2nd through the 4th. And it is the San Francisco Comic-Con. Again, a pretty good list of guests. Kristen Ritter, who you probably know as Jessica Jones from the Netflix series, is going to be there. And Jason Momoa, who is playing Aquaman, is going to be there. As far as comic guests, Tim Bradstreet, Joe Jusco, the legendary artist, Eric Larson as well, Bob Layton, Keith Pollard, who is an artist who some of you may not be familiar with if you're more, you know, if you're newer to reading comics. But back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, he was a very prolific artist. Also, Wills Potasio is going to be there, Paulo Rivera, Liam Sharp, as I mentioned, who's going to be also at the Stockton Con, is going to be there, as well as Jim Shooter and Mike Zeck. So some really big names in the comic industry. Again, if you'd like more info, go to sanfrancomiccon.com. That's sanfrancomiccon.com. Following that, this is a show that for sure Manny and I will both be at, and that's the Long Beach Comic Con. This is always a really great show. The people at Long Beach Comic Con who do Long Beach Comic Con, as well as the Long Beach Comic Expo, do a really great job. It's always a really good show. It's a great location. Long Beach, California, usually beautiful weather, beautiful location. And they have some pretty good guests there. There's a huge amount of G.I. Joe voice actors. So if you're a fan of the 80s cartoon, there's six voices from the 80s classic cartoon that are going to be there. You can get your picture taken with them. Also, Kevin Conroy, who a lot of people will know as Batman from the animated series and a lot of the DC movies, as well as Lauren Lester, who did the voice of Robin, are going to be there. So that's another opportunity there to have a photo taken. I imagine they're going to have a pretty long line, being that's kind of formative stuff right there for a lot of comic fans. Peter David is also going to be there. Joe Eisma, artist on Morning Glories. Kyle Higgins, Brett Booth, who's one of my favorite comic artists. Steve Epting, who's a pretty big name in comic circles. Incredible art. Joel Jones, Scott Koblish, voice actor Phil Lamar is going to be there. Greg Land is going to be there, his first Long Beach Comic Con appearance. John Boy Myers is going to be there. Todd Knock, Amy Meberson. So again, a really good list of comic creators. Nick Spencer, I'll mention, as well as Norm Ratman. So again, if you'd like more info, go to longbeachcomiccon.com. That convention is going to be held on September 17th and 18th. Following that, in toward the end of October, Halloween weekend, kind of the October 28th through the 30th, is Stanley's Kamikaze. Again, this is a show that's got some real star power. Of course, Stanley himself is going to be there. Adam West and Burt Ward from the 60s classic Batman show. Mark Silvestri is going to be there. Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather, who both played Catwoman on the 60s Batman show, are going to be there. We have Walter Koenig, who played Sulu on Star Wars, as well as Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhuru, is going to be there. Tara Strong, the prolific voice actress, is going to be there. A bunch of the Power Rangers are going to be there. Again, this is a good show. It's much more of a pop culture show than just a comic show. So if that's your bag, I certainly would encourage you to attend Stanley's Kamikaze. I've never been myself. This is going to be the first time. So I'm looking forward to checking it out. And there may be a few other shows that we attend, but that pretty much covers you up through the end of October. So if you're going to be there, you'd like to meet us, of course, reach out and let us know. We love meeting our listeners. So I'm going to play the interview with Gail. But first, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. You can visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as find Manny's written blog, my written blog. Of course, our sketch gallery is there. Be sure you're following us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource, so you won't miss an episode and you'll know what we're up to. You can also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram, so you can keep up to date on new episodes, creator interviews, guests we have on the show, and of course we always post pictures, picture albums and such whenever we cover conventions. So in the meantime, get out there and pick up Clean Room by Gail Simone and John Davis Hunt. It's an incredible horror story, and personally I'm completely hooked. As I said, it's one of the first books I read every Wednesday when it comes out. So thanks a lot, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Mark? All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source, here with one of my favorite comic writers of all time. It's always a pleasure to see Gail Simone. How are you doing, Gail?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing outstanding.
I heard you binged on Clean Room in the middle of the night.
I did. I got off work at 10 p.m., went home, read issues 3 through 10, and it was scary. I didn't want to go to sleep. So for those of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Clean Room, give us the quick 30-second pitch. What's Clean Room all about?
Clean Room is about this woman who is a global self-help guru named Astrid Miller, and she has a secret about the world that only she knows, but she feels that you have secrets too, and she's going to get to those secrets whether you want her to or not. And she has this huge organization, multi-million gazillions of dollars in Chicago with a swanky building, and deep below the surface of this building is a hermetically sealed room called the Clean Room, which is where she takes you to basically exercise the secrets that she's looking for. And if you make it out of the Clean Room, you will always be under her power. You may not make it out of the Clean Room. A lot of really scary shit goes on in that room. And then we have a second character, Chloe, who is a journalist. And she's a young journalist just starting out. And her fiancé was reading Astrid's self-help books and getting really involved in her organization and her, I call it a cult, but, and she comes home one day from work and he's literally blown his brains out in their newly remodeled kitchen, and Astrid's self-help book is laying open on the table. So Chloe vows that she's going to see if the rumors she's been hearing about Astrid and her organization are true, and she's going to take it down with, you know, with journalism and facts. And so that's kind of where the story starts, and Astrid knows that there's nothing, you know, she's not scared of anything more than she is a journalist with nothing to lose.
One thing that I immediately was struck with when I started reading, especially in the first two issues, I wasn't sure who the hero was, who I was supposed to be rooting for. Characters are so complex, very much like real life. So maybe there isn't a hero, maybe they're just protagonists. How do you view it as the writer? What direction
well,
you come
well, I wouldn't want to reveal that right now because we're revealing it through the story, but Chloe and Astrid have their own goals, both of which, you know, in their eyes are honorable goals, and it's up to the reader as we reveal the story to decide, you know, if those goals are honorable or not.
All right, let me switch gears here. Why a horror story? You've never written anything really this dark before. Was it just an itch you wanted to scratch?
First of all, I love horror. I've been a fan of horror all my life. Even like some of my favorite parts of fairy tales were the more horrific parts and the real fairy tales that we read when we were kids. And if you look at my body of work, you know, I told sort of horror stories in Simpsons. I told horror stories in Batgirl and Secret Six, They Went to Hell. So it's been there, but it hasn't been untethered. And with Clean Room, because it's an adult book, it's untethered horror. And for me, the scariest things are the things that linger in your mind and make you think about what's going on in the world, or you know, how you react to it, where your place in the world is. Things that you don't just forget, like slash and burn horror. I like some of it, but after a while it feels like you get desensitized and it doesn't mean anything. And Clean Room is not about shock. It's not just about, you know, can we get the most scary image up there. It's about it lingering and why that image is there and what it means. And John Davis Hunt, the artist, understands all of that so well. And sometimes I'll be getting ready to send a script to him, and I think, oh my God, he's just going to be, he's not going to want to draw this. I can't believe I'm going to try to put him in, put him through this, and do I have a second option if he refuses, you know, doesn't want to do this? And he's always like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever. I can't wait to draw this. And he ends everything with boom. And then the next thing, the page comes in, and it's horrifying and beautiful at the same time. And the color palette was his idea, and it just really pops and really makes that book special.
You also have a history of drawing very strong characterization, especially female. And they kind of need to be challenged. Is that to show the strength of them? Is that something that you're looking at or you're conscious of as you're telling the story?
Well, I do several different things. Some of my favorite characters to write, especially if they're ones that I haven't created myself, is I like to take them from their bottom and build them back up and show the struggle that they have to go through to get to where they're the best martial artist in the DCU or the best warrior in the DCU or whatever the case may be. I love doing that because I think that is inspirational. It tells a lot about character and motivation. And with characters like Chloe and Astrid that I've created myself, you know, we don't really see Astrid ever at the bottom of anything, at least not in the beginning. She's already pretty much made her world and her persona. And Chloe, too, she's struggling, but she's not, you know, we did show her hitting her bottom. I take that back and then becoming more determined. So then we can layer on things as they start to accomplish their goals or not meet their goals or whatever is going to happen in the story. It's really important to not use tropes, use stereotypes, take the easy way out storytelling-wise. That really frustrates me a lot when writers just take the easy way out because it's easy. And I don't like to do that. I like and hope that the reader is going to be surprised around every corner and not know what's coming. And especially horror and comedy. That's so important. Otherwise, it's not scary or it's not funny. You know what's coming.
One of the things that you seem to be exploring in the book, you mentioned this already, is secrets. And I feel like it's this horrific world that you've created. It's terrifying and shocking sometimes, but the way you make it relatable is the fact that we all have things that we're not proud of. We all have secrets. And that seems like that's a theme that you're exploring.
It is. It's also like sometimes when Astrid takes someone to the clean room and she's going to do what we consider an exorcism. It's not an exorcism of demons so much as an exorcism of secrets and how she can get to what her goal is. And sometimes she finds what she's looking for, but sometimes she finds other secrets in human beings that she wasn't looking for, and some are quite awful and criminal, and then we see her, you know, that's really not her business to take care of that particular crime, and it's really quite, to me, that's terrifying. And now Astrid knows this secret, and she's not going to get justice, you know, and that happens, I think, in our world, too, and there's just a lot of levels of things that are scary in this book, not just the entities or, you know, her control. There's so much. That's why I think so many people are having nightmares and throwing up and having to take a break and then coming back to it, you know, being disturbed. It's because you can see on a visceral level that this is coming from our world.
All right, one last question, Gail. You have a pretty rabid fan base. How's their response been to this untethered horror that you're taking on? Has it been a generally positive response?
Yeah, it has. It's been great. I've only had like a very, very few people say, this scared me too much. I don't know if I can, you know, continue it. But most people are like, this is the scariest thing I've ever read. You know, I love it. I've been looking for this. Or, you know, I threw up, but I still love what this book has to say. Most of it's just been like really positive and people wanting to know what's going to happen, which is the best part,
right?
Because I already know what's going to happen, and you guys have to wait for me to, you know, John and I to reveal it. But that's the best compliment, is, you know, I can't stop thinking about it and what's going to happen next. So I feel pretty good about those responses.
Well, I didn't, in that vein, I didn't plan on binging those 7 issues. I was going to read one or two before I went to bed, and I ended up, and I was like, oh, I want the next one right now. So yeah, great job. It's a great book. I can't wait to read.
Thank you so much.
It's going.
Thank you
for your time.
It's going some ugly places, I'll just say that.
Great, thanks a lot.